Starcom Radio Network. We are welcoming back to the program today someone who's going to help with your graduating senior who is looking ahead to college, and for college graduates who are looking ahead into graduate school, Dr. Akram Alashari is with us. Hey, how are you today, Akram?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, man, we love having you on the show because you give, I think, a little bit of hope to people who are like, what do I do? The study skills aren't there. They don't have their act together, and they're going to be looking for a college or a graduate school soon. Where do we begin to give them some help?
Well, it really comes down to ultimately what they want. You know, a lot of times you talk to people, you ask them, you know, what do you want? And they actually don't know. They feel like they're lost. So that's going to require a lot of kind of self-reflection. Because you can start off, you know, in one field and then realize you don't like it, go to the next, without a real sense of purpose or direction.
And is that the kind of thing that you can sit down with a student who's stuck in this malaise and kind of guide them through? Or do you have to say, hey, look, just come back to me when you know what you want?
No, well, what I do is whenever I'm speaking with them or with their parents, you know, I'll just ask a series of questions. You know, for example, if you could have your ideal life, what would it look like? You know, what are your skills? What are your passions? What are your talents? What do you find that comes natural to you? What do you find that comes easy to you? And you can tell, actually, just sometimes they don't know, but you can kind of tell from their responses, because you can see some things kind of bring you down while other things you tend to get lit up from them.
Now, this is, I think, what we're talking about here. This is the power of peak state, right? You want to get that peak state out of them, and you need a building block of certainty on their side of what they're going after, a clear, attainable goal, right?
Exactly. And a lot of times, you know, that you've got to take inventory on their past experiences. So, you know, what did you find yourself succeeding at? And then how can you amplify this, and how can you magnify this? And how can you revive this and continue doing this thing?
And once they do have a good goal, what's the next thing about themselves they have to be candid about so you can start to build the skills, in fact, that they need to get the result?
So once you kind of know what you want and you've got a goal in place, you've got to set an action plan. You know, you've got to divide it into smaller goals just so that it just appears to be attainable. And then you've also got to see and be honest about what's holding you back. You know, what's blocking you? What emotional, psychological blocks are in your way? You know, today a lot of people say it's distractions, it's social media, it's the internet, it's this and it's that, and that takes a huge amount of time from every day, and then this ends up having a huge cumulative effect where you could have accomplished a lot more. You look back and you say, how come I didn't get it all done? If you take inventory on the time you spend in your day, you'll find that maybe you didn't utilize it the best you could.
Our guest is Akram Alashari. He's been with us before, and his great book is called The Power of Peak State, Massively Enhance Your Personal Potential. A lot of different ways to get at the same goal. What do you do to build confidence in them when it's getting tough going? They think they're doing the right thing, they think they're on the right path, but it's beating them down, and they're starting to lose confidence in themselves.
So a good thing to do, like I kind of mentioned with the small attainable goals, you know, if you have a goal over, say, a period of a year, or even 5 years or 10 years, and if you can cut that down to 1 year, and then 6 months, and then 1 month, and then even weekly, you can have weekly goals, and then even daily, a daily list of accomplishments. And if you can keep track of your accomplishments, small wins every day, and it doesn't have to be huge, but these small wins every day in and day out, they have a huge effect when you add them up day after day. That's the first thing. The second thing is, a lot of people have this idea where, you know, I've got to just toughen it up and slug it all out all day, all night, every day till I reach my goal. And that is not the way it should be. That's not peak performance. What I recommend for people to do is, you know, you've got a task, whether it's studying for your exam, whatever it is. Take it in small, I would say 45-minute intervals, where you just go at it as hard as you can for 45 minutes. Then you take a 15-minute break. Then you go back at it for another 45 minutes so that you're doing them in short intervals of high intensity.
Okay. And the results that we're looking for, are they measurable along the way? Do you give them guideposts that they'll see their progress and then be able to build on it?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing, you know, for... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. Go right ahead. That must have been the phone bothering us. Go ahead.
One thing is, you know, for example, grades in school, whether it's in high school or in college, you know, that's something you can easily measure. So one thing you don't want to do is, you know, work up until the exam and then see what the results of the exam are. Mm. So one of the things I did, you know, in medical school was do lots and lots of practice exams, practice questions, and then see where you make mistakes. And then you can see with every practice exam, you don't make the same mistake over and over. You make new mistakes and you keep correcting, and then you can actually see the progress. So when you go to the exam itself, you're no longer stressed out or worried. It's all you've been through it. It's almost like you've rehearsed the exam. So you can actually go to the exam and just pass with flying colors.
Wow. So familiarity with the environment that you're going to be in for the exam sounds critical.
Exactly. I mean, what causes a lot of stress and a lot of tension is that you're unprepared for the exam, so you don't know what's coming at you. Because you haven't kind of practiced. You study, but you haven't done practice exams. So you've got to practice to the exam the way it's being delivered.
Okay. Now, when you're taking an exam and you look around the room and you see the panicked faces and the confident faces, you're probably already making a mistake, right? You shouldn't be looking around at other people, but the environment of the exam, right? The proctor, the room that you're in, all of that stuff can affect the test taker, right?
Oh, that's a huge effect. So, you know, one thing is preparation for the exam. The other thing is the actual exam performance. You know, some people, they come into the exam, they say, I feel good, I remember it all. They go in. Once they start the exam, their mind goes blank. So what you've got to do in situations where you find your mind is racing and it's going fast, you've got to slow everything down. You see, we have an expression, it says, you know, go slow in order to go fast. You know, if you're going fast and trying to keep up, you're going to make more mistakes. So if you're able to go slow, it goes a lot smoother, and then you'll actually make it in time. So what I would do during my exams is, if I find myself kind of, you know, really kind of my mind starts to spin, I just stop. I'll close my eyes, and I'll just breathe just for 10 seconds. 10 seconds isn't going to take away from the time in the exam. You come back from those 10 or 20 seconds and you're clear, you're more focused, and then you're like, oh yeah, I can remember this. And then your recall becomes better.
Your personal experience with test taking came natural to you, or were you already practicing some of the things that are in the book in order to increase your own success?
Yeah, I've done, you know, most of the exams and for the medical boards and things of that nature are multiple choice questions, most of the time. So I would literally do thousands and thousands and thousands of these multiple choice questions before the exam. And here's the key, and this is the thing that really screws us up from school, is that we are fearful of making mistakes. You know, when you take the test when you're a kid, you get these big red X's on everything you got wrong, and you don't want to make mistakes.
Right.
And that is just the worst way. It's very damaging to the student's psychology. We should be embracing mistakes. We should be making the mistakes because that's where you learn. When you get burned with a mistake, you know, you really remember it. It sticks to you. So I would go in with the practicing, and I would just make mistakes, and I would learn from every one of them. And when the next practice exam came, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got caught in this trap before. Not this time. And then when it came time to the actual exam, you're just flying through. It's like I've already done this before.
Wow. Now, technically, what are we referring to when we talk about the peak state? Is this a psychological frame of mind that you get into? How would you describe the peak state?
I would say the peak state is a mental state where you're fully activated. You're fully engaged in what you're doing. And that can be in anything you're doing. Whether you're sitting down and reading, whether you're exercising, but you're fully activated and your mind is in its best state it can be.
Now, I know that you do public speaking in addition to your professional work and, of course, writing the book itself. Do people ask you similar questions from group to group? And what is one of the most prevalent questions that you get from people when they hear this presentation and they very much want to learn?
One of the things that people ask me a lot is how to be effective when the pressure is on. You know, we feel that tension, that your heart starts racing, your mind starts racing, you start sweating, you can start, you know, becoming tremulous, you maybe even get stomach aches or whatever. How do you mitigate that? How do you stop that? And I often tell them, you know, with relation to my trauma surgery, the patient is bleeding, the blood pressure is going down. How do I not let myself get out of control and maintain my composure? And it comes down to, once again, slowing everything down. But the key here is you've got to catch yourself. You've got to catch yourself before you get to that point. And that's why I stress with people things like mindfulness and meditation, because you've got to be at your baseline's got to be calm. Your baseline's got to be calm so that when you find yourself getting to that point, you can return back to your baseline. And the key here is being mindful of the trigger. Everyone has different triggers. Some of it, it's more chest pain. Some it's stomach pain. Some we sweat more. Once you start noticing that trigger, slow down your breathing, bring it back to your breath, and come back to baseline.
Our guest is Akram Alashari. We are talking about the power of peak state. And I'm reading on your website, and by the way, people can follow along at www.thepowerofpeakstate.com, that you had an epiphany, realizing that you had a lot more control than maybe you first thought. Is that a hard place for people to get? And what's that moment like? And what was it like for you?
You know, epiphanies are great. This is really what got me into the whole speaking. You know, what I noticed was I'd be doing life-saving surgery day in and day out, and the patients would get better, and, you know, we'd send them out on their way, but a lot of them would come right back. And the reason is because their mindset didn't change. So whether they were involved in a violent activity, gang or domestic violence, or whether it was something reckless like drinking and driving or texting and driving, you know, after we'd repair the injuries, they'd go back and perform the same behavior. And then I said to myself, wait a second, I'm not really helping these people. Mm. And, you know, instead of helping one patient at a time on the operating table, I can stand in front of a group of hundreds of people and really impact and help a lot of them simultaneously. And that really struck me, and it really gave me a lot of motivation and passion to go forward and just start speaking and inspiring people and having them live, you know, to the fullest potential, because I don't want them ending up back up on my operating table because they were doing something because of mindlessness or carelessness or violence or something like that.
Now, mindfulness certainly is becoming a very popular subject for people. In your opinion, what's the best way to go from not being mindful to being mindful? Let's say we take the deep breath, we take the 10 seconds. What is the skill of being mindful?
So here's the main distinction, and here's the main skill. When we have emotions, you know, we feel nervous, we feel angry, we feel whatever we feel. Instead of embracing this feeling, being mindful is just being familiar with the feeling, noticing that it's there. So instead of saying to yourself, I'm angry right now, say, I feel anger. So now what you've done is you've separated yourself from the emotion, from the feeling. So now you feel it, it's there, you sense it, but you're not embodying it. You're not saying, I am now angry, because now the anger will change your decisions, will change your thinking, will change your behavior. So as you just sit in it and you notice it and you're mindful of it, what happens is it starts to dissipate. Instead of trying to suppress it and make it go away, or instead of trying to embody it, you just watch it. You just notice it. You're just mindful of it. And on its own, it goes away, and then other emotions, other thoughts come up, and you just let that happen, and you just be aware of that rather than either embodying it or becoming distracted with other thoughts.
Now, I know this is going to be important for kids, especially who are now facing the big, big exam and have had problems in the past. How do we get across that the limitations they're experiencing are in fact self-imposed, as a, you know, what you're going to hear in the hallway? Oh, this teacher, there's no way I'm going to do well in there. This subject is not what I, you know, expected it to be. In other words, when they start placing the focus on externals, how do you refocus them on themselves and, you know, convince them you really are the one that's holding yourself back and you can unlock your own potential?
That's great. you know, I would say to that, it's a lot of the thinking in today's society, especially with younger people, is cultural conditioning. And a lot of it comes down to conformity and trying to have acceptance and love or appreciation or whatever from our peers. And, you know, we're all in that. But the key here that I try to tell them is you really got to focus on yourself. It's at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what other people think about you. It matters what you think about yourself. And, you know, it's easy to blame and to say, well, it could have been that, it could have been that. I say focus all of your effort, all of your energy on what can you do to change this scenario? What can you do to better prepare yourself? What can you do? Once you start taking 100% responsibility, even though there are circumstances and situations outside of our control, you have 100% ability to control the way you respond to these situations. And that's a huge amount of power. That's where all of our personal power lies. And the key I tell them here is anytime you get hit with a stimulus, rather than reacting right away, take a moment. Take a moment to think how you want to decide to respond to this rather than the quickest reaction you have to that. And that amount of time that you take, that's where all your power is. That's where you can think and slow things down. And it takes time to cultivate this. A lot of people want instant gratification. You know, what can I do to get straight A's? What can I do to score off the charts? What can I do to get a scholarship? No, this is a daily practice. It's like you can't go to the gym one day, work out, lift weights, and then, you know, become Mr. Olympia the next day. It's a long process.
Right. Now, I'm very much interested in a future project of yours. It actually says it's a new project, so maybe it's underway. Focusing on the parents, peak performing parents, how to get your children to achieve straight A's. How integral is the parent with a high school junior or a graduating college senior who's looking at grad school? What's the formula there? Are they 10% of it? Are they 50% of it? How much of an impact do the parents have?
You know, it's vital, and it really comes down to number one, the underlying rapport between the child and the parent, and number two, it comes down to, you know, if you're going to influence your kids. You could talk all day till you're blue in the face. It's not going to affect anything. What's really going to influence them is the way you're acting and behaving. That speaks louder than anything else. And if there's anything that I've learned and anything that really resonates with me is the fact that after I finished high school and college and medical school and residency and subspecialty training, I realized that the most important lessons in life were never taught to me in school. They were never taught to us. And so, you know, now that I have a young kid, I want to empower other parents because these things, they're not being taught to your kids right now. And they're just giving them this predetermined curriculum that is just archaic and not up to time, and they're not preparing the kids for the future. We don't even know what our future is going to look like. But what we do know is that mental fitness and physical fitness is paramount no matter what you go into. And so this program is geared towards these parents, giving them the tools they need to improve their ability to influence and impact their children and get them to be successful.
The power of peak state. Massively enhance your personal potential. Dr. Akram Alashari, by the end of reading this book, you will have the tools to get more done in less time, to overcome obstacles that you didn't think you could and achieve high levels of success and make it feel effortless. You know, for a lot of people, this will change their lives. How does that make you feel when you see someone succeed after reading the book and applying these principles?
I love it. It fills me with joy. It's why I do this. You know, it's hard because a lot of, you know, you can send a message and it doesn't resonate with everybody, but the ones that resonate, all it takes is one idea, one perspective, one epiphany, and your whole life can be completely altered. And that's affected me, and so I'm constantly looking for new ideas and perspectives and ideas, and I compile them and I put them in this book so that, and I even, what I did in the book was the things that I found really valuable, I just bold and underlined. So if you didn't do anything but just read the bold and underlined parts, you'd be gold.
Wow.
Because these are all the things that I put together that if just one of them affects your life, your whole life can be different.
You are a rock star. Every kid who's suffering right now and every parent who's suffering, I think we got to see a little smile on their face hearing that this is possible, they have the tools, they can get it done, and you speak from incredible success and experience. Doctor, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We love when you visit. Mondays are always what they used to say, a come to Jesus day, you know, whether it's school, whatever your big responsibilities are. What a great guest today to kick off the week. I thank you for being with us today, as always. Dr. Akram Alashari.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Go to the website, thepowerofpeakstate.com, get the book, and see incredible change in the success of the student in your life.